In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Christ is among us.
He is and always will be.
Today's homily comes mostly from a reflection written by Father Alexander Schmemann, one of the more influential Orthodox priests in the 20th century. Of course, as Catholic, Byzantine Catholics, we share the same liturgy and the same theology as the Orthodox Church. So what he writes pertains just as much to us. Father Schmemann writes that long before Great Lent begins, the Church already announces the arrival of this holy season in order for you and me, the faithful, to get ready, to make preparations. This is a characteristical feature of the Byzantine liturgical tradition. If you look at our calendar, and many of you now have gone for at least 1 year with the Byzantines, or with Melkites, if not even more. Some of you may be new, but if you'll note, you can even open the calendar and look at it. Every major feast and every great season, whether it be the Paschal season or Christmas season or Lent, always have a period of preparation. It's an announcement of the upcoming feast or the upcoming season. The Church, having a profound understanding then of human nature, realizes what? Our own lack of concentration, or how easily we become unfocused and become distracted from what is most important. The Church herself, knowing human nature so well, is frighteningly aware of the worldliness that shapes our minds and shapes our hearts and shapes our souls. And there's so much around us in the world that's always distracting us, pulling our attention away from what really matters. It's not a surprise to say that you and I live in a de-Christianized secular culture. And in a de-Christianized secular culture, what's exalted really are rank individualism and radical autonomy. We don't think in terms of community. We don't think in terms of God. We don't think in terms of eternal salvation. Too often we're wrapped up in our concerns that have very little to do with our eternal life. We are also prone, just by fallen human nature, we are prone to become indolent about our own baptismal life. It's an honest truth. That's why we have confession. That's why the liturgies are full of the words, Lord have mercy, Lord have mercy. We get indolent about guarding our souls and working toward that commandment, living that commandment of great charity. We're also prone to be too often focused on the here and now. This really has been a plague of the Christian soul since the late 1800s. Because if you go back and you read Pius IX and Leo the Great, Leo the 13th, read their writings, this is what they were really lamenting: the transformation from a Christian society into more or less a secular society. And a secular society is really consumed with how do we live well on earth, and we were forgetting on how to live well for heaven. And so that's our tendency in a society like this. Our culture also is immersed in instant gratification. We're immersed in self-indulgence. And we're constantly immersed in seeking creaturely comforts and goods. And we know, as a, particularly our American society, is very much, it puts a priority on money and material well-being. And none of us, because we live in this culture, it is our culture, none of us are immune to this really anti-Christian way of thinking and acting. It's antithetical, really, to the gospel. In addition, human nature Well, let's be honest about ourselves. We know this. We're not prone to change our habits easily. It's difficult. All the more when it comes to our spiritual practices and our spiritual way of seeing and thinking. These don't change overnight or in 1 month. It's a constant life of metanoia, a constant life of conversion. One's entire life is really a constant movement toward deification, divinization. So it's unreasonable to think that all of a sudden on Sunday, February 20th, when Great Lent begins in the evening, that instantly we're going to get right in the spirit of Great Lent and we're going to move straight ahead full force and full throttle. No, we don't do that. As in business or sports or commencing upon any worthwhile endeavor, there's always preparation needed, right? We're told, you know, if you start doing your sport right away without any kind of preparation for it, whether it's doing a little fasting and doing those calisthenics and stretching, you're going to really hurt yourself when you start playing the sport game. Well, same thing with Lent. Human beings are creatures of habit, and therefore we need to ease into the endeavors that are worth doing and living. So that introduction then, with that understanding, the church gives us 5 Sundays. This is the first one. 5 Sundays before the great asceticism of Lent begins. And what the church is turning our attention to the meaning and the nature and the purpose of the great season of Lent. Yes, if we don't know why we're going to do something, we're not prone to even really do it much, right? Heart and mind must be engaged. And when you look at these 5 Sundays, beginning today and the next 4 Sundays, there's actually one central theme that unites all these Sundays. Every Sunday between now and Monday, Purity Monday, is focused on the central, some aspect of metanoia, some aspect of conversion. Today, the first of these Sundays is called Zacchaeus Sunday. It's the first announcement, the first proclamation. And the lesson recounted us today in the gospel is about a man who was short in stature. He couldn't see Jesus of Nazareth because of the crowd. But what we see in him is an earnest desire to see the God-man. And that desire was so strong in him that he climbs a tree to catch a glimpse of this man. He didn't quite figure out that he's the God-man, but he knew he was somebody unique. And Jesus the Christ, walking along, sees this Zacchaeus in the tree. What does our Lord really see? A profound yearning of the human heart. And he says to Zacchaeus, come down. I see your yearning. I'm going to go into your home today. The first theme then of metanoia is profound desire. One could call it love. The human heart follows what one loves. What do you love in your life? And that's what you will sacrifice for. Our loves and they define who we are. That's why in another passage the Lord declares, quote, where your treasure is, there shall your heart be, end of quote. Profound desire or profound love gives the person that strength to overcome any weakness, any limitation, and what may appear as something insurmountable. Dr. Viktor Frankl, in his book, Man's Search for Meaning, testifies to this truth, a human truth, about the power of love, the power of human desire. In the book, Man's Search for Meaning, it's in two parts. The first part recounts his own and those of his patients' experience of the two worst concentration camps that the Nazis had created, Dachau and Auschwitz. He went through both of them. And the question confronting him was, why keep living when you were experiencing such awful human degradation? Now, he was a Jew by descent, so this is not a Christian man, and he really wasn't a active believing Jew. He was a doctor, and so he looked at things in a medical way. And this was a man who would tell you before he entered those concentration camps, he was well-versed and a true believer in Sigmund Freud, an atheist. But in going through this concentration camp, not through some Christian reason, this is a man through natural reason came to realize how a human being can survive the most barbaric experiences in life. He came to realize it was love. Love. The desire to keep going every day, despite every reason that told him not to, kept him moving. And he saw that in his patients. The minute one of his patients would give up the desire to live, within 24 hours, those people would die. Even the people that he was treating in the hospitals, well, what they called the hospitals in those concentration camps, the minute they gave up the desire, the struggle to live, they died within hours. The other was love, that desire for love. And what was the love? It was that one day I'm going to get out of here and I'm going to see my wife. One day I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to see my children. One day I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to be able to live my life again. It was love, it was that desire that kept him going. Looking to the martyrs, the Christian martyrs, the church has always grasped this truth always. Profound love, profound desire. That is what enabled a martyr, when you read the lives of some of these martyrs, that's what enabled them to experience and never doubt our Lord, no matter what kind of torture they were going through. And yes, at a human level, it seemed almost impossible, but love kept them going. Love for our Lord kept them going. In today's gospel passage, then, the profound desire of Zacchaeus shows us what we are able to do as human beings. He was short in stature, but was able to overcome and transcend his pettiness. As you and I prepare then for the holy season of metanoia, ponder these questions. What do you profoundly desire in your life? Are these desires rightly ordered? Who or what do you treasure in your life? These are the questions you ask of yourself and the core of your being. Is God your first love? Is He your most eager desire? Do you have a daily prayer life? Do you make every attempt to attend divine liturgy every Sunday? Do you spend time each week reading, meditating on the Word of God? Do you make an effort to return to also participate in the other liturgical services in your parish? These are the questions to ask oneself in this pre-Lenten period. Zacchaeus desired the right thing. He wanted to see. In turn, Jesus the Christ approached Zacchaeus and he entered his home. Zacchaeus, therefore, is the first example of authentic metanoia. It's a rediscovery of the root of all desires and of all loves. A desire for God and His righteousness. A desire for true life. Yes, Zacchaeus was, quote-unquote, short in stature. It was an indication that he was petty. He was self-indulgent. He was self-centered. He was a sinful man and very limited in the way he saw life. But what happened? His desire to see overcame his limitations. And the Lord saw that desire in his heart. And so he drew near to Zacchaeus and entered his home. That, my brothers and sisters, is the first invitation in the preparation for the great and holy season of Lent. Christ is among us.